The word today is mirror. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. We use mirrors to show us what we look like, and they do a pretty good job. Some mirrors distort our appearance and make us look funny, while others may only reflect a small section of our appearance. We depend upon mirrors to gain information about ourselves, and we depend upon the Word of God to give us an accurate reflection of ourselves and God. Here to share more on this is Bible educator Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Mirror.
Maybe you've had the experience of standing in a bathroom and trying to use a mirror, but it's not a very good mirror. I remember as I've traveled around the world, there have been times where as I look to try to straighten my hair or see what I look like, I'm looking at a shiny piece of metal, not a piece of glass with a silver backing, which is used for modern mirrors that show us a really good image of ourselves, but just a shiny piece of flat metal. And you can't tell exactly what's going on with your appearance. You get a general idea, but certainly not nearly as precise as a modern mirror. We're going to be thinking about the fact that we don't have a really good vision. We don't have a terribly precise insight as to the spiritual realities, the struggles, the conflicts, the difficulties, what all is going on in the spiritual world around us at any given moment, the future glory of heaven and what that's going to be like. And instead of looking at a perfect mirror image, we're actually looking into a piece of shiny metal, and we have a very difficult, indistinct understanding of these things. This is what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 8, when he said, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Just as a little aside here, as Paul finishes up this section, he talks about the greatest of these is love. Why is love greater than faith and hope? The reason is because love continues on beyond the grave. Faith and hope are necessary in this life for us to place confidence in the Lord in order to get salvation. Love, God's love, working in and through us, will continue on into eternity, and that's why that's the greatest. Paul is talking here about the difficulty we have at times ascertaining, understanding the spiritual world around us. And in fact, this is the cause sometimes of confusion in churches and among Christians. Sometimes individuals look at Christians and they say, well, you know, they're not always unified. They're not always together. Why is it that they can't agree? And they would suggest that this is some kind of problem. And the fact of the matter is that part of that is because we have a difficult time seeing the absolute perfection that God wants us to achieve as Christians. You know, there's such a lack of conformity in some practices around the world with Christians. We have some Christians who pray to saints, deceased Christians. We have some who say it's important to handle venomous snakes. We have others who are preaching what's called a prosperity gospel, where supposedly God wants all believers to be wealthy and healthy. We have others who are promoting speaking in tongues privately, as though God needs to hear us do this. Well, these are such different practices. Some Christians do some of these, other Christians don't do these. Why isn't there uniformity? Why aren't all Christians doing the same thing? Part of it is because, just like looking into that metal mirror, we don't see things absolutely clearly. There's a lot of confusion. There's a poor reflection sometimes, and we don't really understand precisely how we're supposed to act and what exactly we're supposed to do. It varies from church to church and from Christian denomination to denomination. Now, does that mean that one group is not Christian and the other is? No. Anyone who puts their hope and faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who came to this earth in order to specifically suffer and die on the cross, to physically raise up from the dead on the third day, for bearing our sins and bringing us eternal life in His name. Anyone who puts their hope and trust in Him and is confessing their sins, looking to Him for salvation, you can give the name Christian. Now, all the practices that Christians do, whether this person speaks in tongues or doesn't, or whether this person prays to a saint or not, there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of, frankly, mistakes that are made by people. Why? Why isn't it perfectly clear? I think sometimes this is because of what I call religious fog. This religious fog is, you know how it is, hard to see through fog. Well, in the same way, this religious fog for us is caused by one thing, biblical ignorance. Individuals that don't faithfully read the Word of God aren't going to understand it well and are going to have less clear guidance as to what to do. Religious fog can also be caused by confusion in human communication. Sometimes we just don't make it clear enough for others. And there's always going to be a potential for miscommunication among Christians. Another cause of religious fog is imported worldliness. Too much trying to take the way the world does things and push it into Christianity or put it into our lives. Let me give you an example of this. Just the other day, I was speaking to a group on the fact that we as Christians should not be using horoscopes. We should not be looking to the stars or the planets for guidance. Anything physical in the world that we start to invest with the future or purpose and meaning is a form of idolatry. And we have some Christians that are confused on that. They're unaware. They don't realize that. Maybe individuals around the world are coming from a pagan environment, and as they become Christian, they haven't realized that some of these objects should no longer be prayed to, should no longer be depended upon. We still have that problem in North America, even though it's supposed to be a Christian nation historically. Many of the believers meld in these other activities, and I pointed out that the stars were created by the Lord. Right there in Genesis chapter 1, it says really clearly in verse 16, He also made the stars. So they have no power. They have no capacity to influence our life. So this is part of the confusion that comes into people's lives. Sometimes individuals have a great deal of zeal, hyper-spirituality, and they get off base. So there's a lot of reasons for differences in churches. Now, one thing that's interesting about this is that you had pretty much all of these wild differences between churches right there in the New Testament. This is nothing new. There's always individuals that are hyperzealous and off base, and there's always individuals that are misunderstanding. There's always people that are ignorant and believing something worldly instead of the Word of God. And this is the cause for all this confusion and this lack of unity. It happened in the church in Corinth in several ways. There were factions in the church, divisions. There was not appropriate church discipline on a person who had committed a public sin. There were abuses of the Lord's Supper, turning it into a pagan drunken festival. There was chaos in worship, no organization. You know, all these things were going on in Corinth, and Paul had to give instruction. And he admitted that these things come up because it's like looking in the mirror now. You know, we don't have full knowledge and understanding. Paul also likened it to being like a child, when in this life we have a more childish understanding. But then, once we get into the presence of God in eternity, we will have a maturity. And, like Paul says, then we will see face to face. So, you know, don't take a look at the divisions or distinctions in Christianity as though this is evidence that Christianity is not true. No, that's not true at all. In fact, you can tell that the Christians are united because we don't hate on each other. We don't kill each other. We, you know, if someone's of a different brand of Christianity, we're not trying to hurt them or harm them. We're all united in the love of Jesus. And that should be a sign to the world of the truth of the teachings of Jesus, our Savior. And we're always going to have a certain amount of religious fog. We're always going to have a certain degree of misunderstanding. But the single greatest way to try to reduce that is for all of us to spend time listening to the Word of God, like we have today, knowing that there's going to be confusion, but it'll be sorted out, knowing that we aren't going to see perfectly, but we will in eternal life. The more Christians are in the Word of God, the better the chance we have at pulling together and seeing clearly. I hope this is encouraging to you, and I encourage you to be a student of the Word of God so that little by little we'll start to see the truth of God's Word and look forward to eternal life with Him.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.